a God who hides himself, the hidden God. When it became clear that this would be message 12 for this training, and that I would be writing the outline, and it turned out giving the message, initially I wondered, this seems to be a rather unexpected ending of the training and of the entire crystallization study of the whole Bible. But then, as the Lord led and something came forth, was connecting what is revealed concerning the hidden God with a profound, just a very profound portion in Gospel of Luke. And we'll see, as the Lord leads and guides, at the very end of that is a matter that now I can understand why the sovereign God was putting this together. Because in the last part of the message and the last part of the outline, there is a very weighty burden to be discharged concerning a particular matter that any believer who is serious with the Lord, who loves him, who is consecrated to him, who is seeking him, who has learned the truth concerning overcomers and being co-kings in the millennium and long to be that, you will see there is one characteristic that every living believer must have fully developed in order for them to be an overcomer when the Lord comes back. And I believe, not because I'm speaking this, but because the Lord is ministering this in an intrinsic way, I believe it will have a long-lasting and powerful effect on your personal life with the Lord. At the right time, I will know what has been just moving within me gently, I believe, from the anointing that I've had a particular learning experience about that very matter. And I'll just find out when we get there what the Lord wants me to say. And so this is a rather unusual meeting on Saturday night. We often have a no test, because after the message and after co-workers give some confirming words, then various co-workers need to share a little bit about this or that. But the this or that has been taken care of already. And so if I need to go maybe 5 minutes longer than usual, I think it'll be okay. Because the Lord knows. There is a very particular burden. And now I can see why the connection between the hidden God and this parable and its application. Don't try to guess ahead of time. Don't go leaping ahead. Just stay at the beginning and go step by step. A God who hides himself, the hidden God. When I came into the Lord's recovery in the fall of 1966, there were very few English language booklets or books of Brother Lee's ministry. And there were just two little booklets. One, both of them affected me deeply, and I have revisited them again and again in the last 56 years. One is on the God of Resurrection, and the other is a little booklet that was shown to you a few days ago, A God Who Hides Himself. And it might be very good if you just got this little booklet. You could read it on the way home or whatever, but that's up to you. So now there are two sections devoted to the hidden God explicitly, and another section devoted rather mysteriously. And that is this opening word from Isaiah 45:15, and what is revealed in the book of Esther. Surely you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. And point A is quite enlightening, and it should motivate many of us. Hardly any of God's children know that the Bible speaks of God as a God who hides himself. So this is an aspect of God we need to know, and he wants to know, even though he's hidden from us, and we certainly are not hidden from him, but he wants us to know because of the marvelous effect it will have on our personal and corporate life. Point one, this proves that God's children do not have an adequate knowledge of God as the one who hides himself. Okay, right now, we know that the Lord said, I will be with you to the end of the age, I'm Emmanuel. So I can say this respectively. Good evening, Lord Jesus. We know you are here, but you're still hidden. And you all know in various degrees that Christ as the Spirit is dwelling in you, and he's there, but he's hiding. He's hiding, and he's going to be hiding for quite a long time. And eventually you will become one who treasures this aspect of God. And we will see, while he's hiding, he is doing so many things for our benefit. So we are opening to the Lord to know God is the one who hides himself. Why does he do this? Two, we may know God as the mighty God, the righteous God, and the God who is full of grace and loving kindness. However, we may not know God as the God who hides himself. It's kind of mysterious, isn't it, that God is hiding. He's going to be a hidden God for a long time. Yet he wants you to know, not know about him, know him. Know him in his hiddenness. This is quite, to me, quite marvelous. B, although our God is omnipresent, that means he's everywhere at the same time, omnipotent, that he's all-powerful, and full of forgiveness, he is also the hiding God, as the book of Esther indicates. We'll have a little section on that, but I'll just make some comments now. There's no mention of God in the whole book. But if we realize this is a kind of a historical account of what the hidden God was doing. And so he knew ahead of time that one evil person will try to terminate all the Jews in the kingdom. And so how did it happen? that the king's wife, when he asked her to come to this feast, he's having a feast with so many men, she's having one with so many women, she's remarkably beautiful, come, and she wouldn't come. And then he was advised, well, you better do something, because now all the wives are going to act like this. And so you better put her away and get another one. And then that turned out to be Esther, who had to have certain characteristics to become the next queen. And then the Lord was able to use her to save all the Jewish people, because the command had been sent out, kill them all. So he did all this as the hidden God. But we'll come back to that maybe in 15 or 20 minutes. See, God created the universe, and then he hid himself within it until we do not know where to find him. Where is he? You just look around, you can't find him. But he created the universe, then he hides in what he has created. This is God. D goes on to say, God did countless things in the midst of the children of Israel, and countless things in their personal lives. Yet he concealed himself. He was ceaselessly working, let he was always hidden. Now, we've been together now, this is 6 days, and maybe at times you have just an inner sense that something divine is in me, there's life flowing in me, but you can't find him, you can't see him, but he's there doing a lot, and he gathered us all together, and he's hiding in every one of us. He's in the meeting, yet he's hiding from the meeting. More and more, this will become delightful, because it is a testimony of certain attributes he has and his disposition, contrary to the evil one, the enemy. And so he concealed himself, yet he's very active inwardly. E, we need to realize that the omnipotent God whom we are serving is still hiding himself, especially when he is helping us. This is just so true. He surely was helping me for several weeks after that surgery. Oh, he was helping day and night. And I had my wife helping me day and night, through whom Christ was also helping. But I couldn't find him. He was hiding. But wow, was he ever active. And it was turned out to be quite a precious time with the hiding God, who is very active in me, and active in the environment, and he's been acting in you since the moment you were saved. And sometimes you look back, even though you're young, you can look back on a certain stage in your life and you realize that was God. I didn't understand why that happened. Like, oh, I really hoped that she would love me the way I loved her, and that we would get married. And then she left you for someone else. And now you realize, and then there's a retroactive thank you. Thank you for that, for saving me from that. But he was working in a hidden way after that. And who knows what he's going to do every day for the next year, you know. Happy God hidden year, 2023. Okay. One, we cannot see him. And apparently, he is not doing anything. Okay, keep this thought in your mind. Apparently, apparently, because this is going to intensify later. And all of us are going to have particular experiences. And eventually our real feelings will need to come forth. It just seems that God is doing nothing. It doesn't matter to Him, the situation. Why doesn't He come in and do this and that? This is not rebellion. This is a human being being honest and straightforward with God. It seems He's doing nothing. I pray, pray, and prayer. Is He hearing? Is He answering anything? Well, while you're thinking all of that, He's hidden, and now He's doing a lot. And He knows at a time when He gives you a peek in what He was doing, and then, okay, now I see something, then He's hidden again. But just this statement, He's caring for us, helping us. And now we can look back. I believe many saints can testify. You just have this sense how in certain matters, how the Lord helped you, how He shepherded you, how He cared for you. But He did it in a hidden way. And now you can reflect on that and offer some retroactive, I use that word again, hallelujahs. And so all of us will see when we come to the end, in particular ways and even corporately to a certain extent, between now and the end of the age, the hidden God is going to do a tremendous inner work in all of us who are consecrated to Him, who are seeking Him, who are open to Him, and who love Him. Two, actually, in a hidden way, He is doing many things for us. As He is strengthening us with power through His Spirit into the inner man, so that Christ may make His home in your heart. Okay, in that verse in Ephesians 3:17, remember the last word? Christ is making home in your heart through faith. You can't trust your feeling. I'll come back to this, I think. You need to be able to discern the difference between the feeling in your soul and the sense of your spirit. You'll learn. The Lord will train you. Because He is making His home in our heart through faith. So we can't see it. We can't trust our feeling. But He's doing it. Okay, F. Now we come to something very personal in your life with the Lord. The God who hides Himself is operating within us silently, yet mightily. Silently. Not just hidden, but quiet. Even silent. And we don't associate usually quietness and silence with vigorous actions, but He is actually operating mightily in us. Mightily. And that indicates there are certain aspects of our being that for the Lord to subdue and then deal with and transformed, it's a kind of inward battle. So He's quiet, He's hidden, but He's mightily touching something in the core of your being. And it's a wonderful way of His care for you. Because you have told Him, I'm going to be an open vessel to you. I don't know where I am, what I need, but You know. and just go wherever you want to go, he will. And he'll go into the depths, and anything there contrary to God, he will deal with and replace it with the all-inclusive Christ. All in a hidden way. And you may not be aware of it, but others will. I was deeply touched when a sister, maybe in her 50s, that I haven't had any kind of fellowship with her or any emails or anything. And when she spoke for the 30 seconds inwardly, I was just thanking and worshiping God. She may not realize it. Christ is shining out of her. There's just more Christ in her because the hidden God has been working in all of us silently. Okay, our responsibility, this is an important subpoint. Our responsibility is to cooperate with him by responding to the inner sense deep within us. Okay? It's an inner sense. It's a combination of the sense of life and the sense of your spirit. That is why we need to be calm ourselves and peaceful ourselves. And then there is just this aspect of our spirit, intuition, just direct knowing, and you just have a sense that this inner sense, this isn't me. This is something deeper than me, and you'll just have the realization, this is the Lord. But he's not going to spring up and say, that's right, okay, give a checkpoint for you. No. As soon as you try to locate him, he'll hide again. But see, the inner sense. And so there may be some here quite new. This expression, inner sense, is rather strange. And so on your part, please pray that the Lord will train your inner sense. And many of you shepherd them one-on-one. Just help them to have this inner realization. You don't have to be a super mature sister. It's like in a family. If someone's 15 and another daughter is 11, you can help her with something. You don't have to have a PhD in something. So you can care for a new one to help them all have this sense because it's crucial. Two, whenever we sense God living and acting within us, we should say, Amen. For there, in the depths of our being, secretly and ceaselessly, the God who hides himself is working. So whenever we have the sense, and I believe all of you, during this training personally, you had some inner sense. You have. Maybe even early in the morning, whatever. Sometimes when I'm in the shower, I don't know why, that's where I get an inner sense about some things. But you just know this is the Lord nonstop working in a hidden way. But in the depths of your being, secretly, but ceaselessly. So good news for you. You ain't going to stop him from this work in you. Okay? Not going to happen. Because he knows what that's like. And he knows how to subdue it. He's working ceaselessly. Gee. If we study the scriptures carefully, we will see that God has this kind of temperament that dislikes ostentation. That's quite a long word, ostentation. That's when someone's really showy. They want to make a big display for themselves. This is what fallen human beings do, and non-transformed saints do. They don't know they're doing it. They don't do it deliberately, but their speaking is just self-centered. But eventually, the Lord will go into that part of our being and touch our disposition and make known to us His temperament. He likes to work secretly rather than openly. And these verses in Matthew 6, praying to the Father, He's in secret. Father's in secret. And you need to learn to be in secret with Him. And you will have experiences in secret with God the Father that probably you will never outwardly talk about. Because there's this aspect of a secret, wonderful, divine human life with our Father, with His temperament. Our disposition is diametrically opposed to God's disposition. A disposition that hides itself. This is just His nature. That is why no one can find Him. No one can see Him. That's His makeup. God likes concealment. We like display. God does not crave outward manifestations. We cannot be content without them. This divine disposition constitutes a great trial and test for us. So here we have an overall picture of a God who hides Himself, the hidden God. And if we exercise our faith and our heart is open and we love Him and believe Him and the light is shining, we're coming to know the hidden God. He's in me. He's for me. He's hidden, but He's taking care of me, especially when I need care from Him. There are times, no matter how much we love each other and how often we're willing to pay a price, like in 1 John 3:16, that Christ loved us. He laid down His soul life for us. We also ought to lay down our soul lives for others. But there are certain times when you realize only God can help you. Only the triune God. And now you know. You don't know where He is, what He's doing, but you just have a simple prayer. Lord, just do what You want. Go where You want to go. I need You. I can't live another day without You. And then the hidden God will do extraordinary things. Okay, now we see a little bit more of this hidden God in section 2, the book of Esther. The book of Esther supplies a vivid record of how the hiding God of Israel secretly took care of the oppressed elect in their dispersion and openly saved His persecuted elect in their captivity. So I mentioned already, all the people were in captivity in a huge kingdom under a powerful king, and someone is rising up who wants to exterminate all of them. The crucial point of this book is that the very God who chose Israel, the descendants of Abraham, as His elect, after He gave them into captivity to the Gentile nations, became a hidden God to them to take care of them secretly and save them openly while acting in secrecy. Only the Lord knows, but so many dear saints in Ukraine have been suffering beyond description. That I know of one case, not directly, but he was at the front lines. And he called his wife and he said, "This is the last time you will hear me, because I'm at the front lines and we will not survive." Then his wife called a sister in another country far away. Then that sister called another sister who made the matter known to me. And the prayers that went up saved him from that. But surely, the hidden God is working on these dear saints. And those that left, that are immigrants in other countries in Europe, how they're being taken care of, again, by the hidden God. This is the reason. Oh, I better read more, a little A. Repeat, won't hurt. A crucial point of this book is that the very God who chose Israel, the descendants of Abraham, as his elect, after he gave them into captivity, the Gentile nations became a hidden God to take care of them secretly. This is his way. I believe right now, secretly, he's taking care of many suffering saints in that part of Europe and all over the earth. It's not wise to mention countries in most cases. Two, on the one hand, God used the Gentile nations as tools to discipline his people. On the other hand, the hiding God was with the people of Israel, caring for them. So God realizes, you failed me, you were unfaithful, you have to be disciplined. But while he is doing that, in a hidden way, he's caring for them. How wonderful is our God. The hiding God did many things for Israel in a secret way. The hiding God established a top king in the Gentile world in power over a great empire extending from Israel to Ethiopia. The hiding God caused the top king to dispose his queen because of her disobedience to his word. If that hadn't happened, and she said, "Sure, you know, I'm subject to my husband. I'm going to come. He wants to show me off how beautiful I am. Oh, I kind of like that." No. But if she had come along, then there would be no need for Esther, and there would be no Esther and her foster father that would be used by God to spare them all. And so we don't normally think God is involved in that. Oh, he's involved in everything in a hidden way. So three, in his secret care, the hiding God raised up Esther, a Jewish orphan, virgin, to be crowned by the top king of his queen. And you remember, not even the wife could just walk into the throne room. She could be killed. Anyone who went in there without an invitation, they could be put to death. And he hadn't invited her to come in, but she needed to go. And she said, whether I live or die, I must do this. But she just appeared, and he extended a welcome. And this opened the way for her to make known what is happening. She couldn't say to my people, but to these people. This is hidden God operating. And see, during the years of the captivity, God was hiding. And he is still hiding. Even today in the church age, God is hiding himself. See, now we're making a major turn to that parable that I alluded to which is the one in Luke 18, 1-8. Because the hidden God functioning during Ezra's time and at other times, he is still the God who hides himself. Even in the church life and in your life. And so the Lord, and we'll see through this parable, will connect what is revealed, we've considered already, on the hidden God with the situation toward the end of this age and what the children of God will need in order to come through this age victoriously. And so this parable is profound. I'm going to read it to you because we just want to have it fresh before us. We need to know God as he is revealed as the hidden God. And this is now the Lord himself, in whom was the hidden God. You didn't walk around saying, by the way, I am Jehovah. What's your name? You didn't say, I am. No. He said, I'm a carpenter. I've got four brothers and sisters. We're in a poor family. He was an ordinary looking person, we would say. But God was hidden in him. And now the incarnated hidden God is giving this parable. He told them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And this kind of always to pray is praying in a very painful and difficult situation you're in. And what makes it difficult is you can't go forward, backward, sideways, up, or down. And you can't endure where you are. And so in that kind of situation, our only option is pray. But we may pray and pray and pray. And we need to be trained not to lose heart. I probably will have the leading to give you this testimony a little bit later. But of just praying for more than 25 years concerning just a painful, heartbreaking situation. And just, you just can't stop. Even if you say, well, I give up. I'm going to stop praying like this. And the next day you're praying the same way again. It's so mysterious. And the Lord is caring for us. Don't lose heart. Don't let the enemy cause you to lose heart inwardly. No matter what is happening, he will save us from losing our heart. Saying there was a certain judge in a certain city who did not fear God and did not regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, avenge me of my opponent. She kept coming to him nonstop. Avenge me of my opponent. And for a time, he would not. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow causes me trouble, I will avenge her, lest by continually coming she wears me out. And believe it or not, the Lord is using this person as almost typifying the hidden God. You'll see why before long. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Then he makes this leap. And will not God, by all means, carry out the avenging of his chosen ones who cry to him day and night, though he is long suffering over them? I tell you that he will carry out their avenging quickly. Yeah, so I'm going to pause here. I'll read the second half of verse 8 later. So now we come to this part of the outline leading up to the particular burden that I believe the Lord will release into the body. The widow in verse 3 signifies the believers. That's you and me. In a sense, the believers in Christ are a widow in the present age because their husband Christ is apparently absent from them. Please notice that. Apparently. They can't really say he's absent. He's just nowhere. He's abandoned me. It's just apparently he's absent from them. Like the widow in the parable, Luke 18:3, we believers in Christ have an opponent, Satan, the devil. This is our opponent. And his target is not just any ordinary believer on the earth. My personal feeling, after much consideration, the universal COVID-19 was an attack on all the churches and all the saints in the Lord's recovery. That was his attack, to stop the meetings and this and that. But the hidden God was operating in all of us. So here we are, in person. Thank the Lord. He shepherded us through. Okay. So this parable indicates the suffering we have from our opponent during the Lord's absence. And the opponent is Satan. And what is going to come up in us eventually? We already saw it in the parable itself. We know this is Satan. We want a vengeance. This is God's responsibility. We cannot have a vengeance on our own. Come in, look how evil he is. This is Satan, the devil. Look what he's doing. Look what he's causing in so many parts of the world. And we're not going to be able to hold our real feelings and thoughts. Certain dispositions of how to keep them down. They're kind of afraid of just opening up and pouring out before God what's really in them. This is just being what you are. You're not disrespectful, but you just realize I have to open up and pour out my whole being about this. I don't understand why this can be allowed to go on like this. And the sovereign God, who is omnipotent, he could just deal a blow and it's over. But it's not just going on, it's more intensified. So this is the parable indicates the suffering of our opponent during the Lord's apparent absence. Because we're going to have the feeling, this is our honest feeling as a human being, God isn't here. He's left. I don't know where he is. I prayed and prayed, not just one day, not just one week, not just one month, not just one year, not just one decade, and nothing. It seems like he doesn't care. It seems. We're not accusing him. We have to be honest about what's really going on within us. During his apparent absence, we are a widow whose opponent is troubling her all the time. The Lord covered me to say, and don't be afraid when you hear this. When I turned 80, shortly after that, the enemy subtly used a verse from one of the Psalms about, the length of human life is 70, and if you're strong, it might be 80. It's like the Lord was saying, okay, you reached 80. It's over, man. It's over. And so, since that time, there's this ongoing battle. The battle is so clear. Satan comes very actively. Death. God is coming actively. Life. But I need a helper, and I have one, who helps me always choose life. And so the enemy is not just going to evaporate right now, and we're in this situation, and God apparently is not aware, is not apparently doing anything. JC, while our opponent is persecuting us, it seems that our God is not righteous. This feeling may come up. It seems. It seems he's not righteous. Why? For he allows his children to be unrighteously persecuted. How do we account for this? Look what has happened. One Thursday morning, I went every Thursday morning for almost 11 years to work several hours with Brother Lee on the life studies. And when I came to his apartment, he told me he just heard that a co-worker that he had trained and who was, in prison in some situation in the country where he was, but he just had the sense that he had to stand up and speak a word on behalf of the Lord Jesus. And he did. And they killed him immediately. This is like a spiritual child for Brother Lee. But there is no immediate counteraction. Not yet. And so, again, we're human beings. We have these kind of feelings. It seems God's not going to do anything. Well, apparently, seemingly. But once we know the hidden God is functioning in a hidden way, you realize, no, the Lord is right here in the situation, in His way. And he may indicate to someone, yes, the enemy took his life, but he died in victory. He died glorifying me. He will be in the wedding feast. He will be a co-king. So while our opponent is persecuting us, it seems that our God is not righteous. For he allows his children to be unrighteously persecuted throughout the centuries. Thousands upon thousands of honest and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus have suffered unrighteous persecution. Even today, many are undergoing unrighteous treatment while we're meeting here. This is happening. I'm not going to name countries. It's happening. And these dear ones who are in that situation, they need a certain development in them that will enable them to overcome what is taking place, because they realize the hiding God is hidden in this whole situation, but he's very active. And he's in me, and he's hidden. But I know, I fully believe, he is not away from me. He's operating in me. And he knows I settled with him some years ago. Father God, may your will be done in every way in my life. May your will be done in your way and in your time. Our God seems to be unjust, since he does not come in to judge and vindicate, because it seems that way. Why don't you come in? You're omnipotent. Why don't you just take action right away? Just obliterate these people, what they're doing. But you look to history, how many tens of millions of people, 100 million people, lost their lives under cruel dictators in the 20th last century. And so eventually, maybe in a gigantic way, but in a personal way, you will all face this. And that's why certainly we're coming to the real burden based upon this. KD, the widow in the parable, kept coming to the unrighteous judge and asking him to avenge her of her opponent. We ought to pray persistently for this avenging and should not lose heart. One, when our husband is apparently absent and we are left on earth as a widow, temporarily, our God seems to be an unrighteous judge. Imagine the Lord Jesus. This is why this is a profound parable. He made that unrighteous judge to be able to address a situation between our relationship with God. Look what our opponent is doing. Sometimes it's one thing after another. You just get your one thing and it's another blow. Where are you? You're almighty. Come in, deal with your enemy. Silence. No action, apparently. No care, apparently. But if something is developing in you in the midst of that situation, you know that the hidden God is taking care of you thoroughly right now. When it comes down to it, you simply believe it. Two, although he appears to be unrighteous, we still must appeal to him, pray persistently, and bother him again and again. For he will carry out quickly the avenging of his chosen ones who cry to him day and night. Now with section E and F, in about 20 or 22 minutes, this is a little past 8:30, and we don't usually have, we often have on the Saturday night, no test because co-workers want to share something, but I told you already, they're not going to share something, they're just going to respond to the message. And so I believe this is the Lord's sovereign arrangement, because I need enough time to get this out for the body's sake. And so now we will see the connection between what is revealed in the Old Testament from Isaiah and Esther, the God who hides himself. And we'll see how this is connected with the parable in Luke 17 and prayers in Revelation 8. And so I need to read some verses to you and then read directly from some ministry from Brother Lee. I just want him to speak for himself because it is such a marvelous and penetrating word. I want to honor him by repeating his words. I don't want to give the impression that this is my utterance. It's not mine. So Revelation 8:3-5. Another angel, capital A, that's the Lord functioning as a messenger, came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And so we know from Revelation 5, the prayers of the saints are golden bowls. They're the prayers. The Lord adds the incense to them to make the prayers acceptable. And then he brings that to the throne. And immediately there is powerful action from the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the angel before God. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake. And just a little bit from footnote 1. The implication here is that this is the answer to the prayers of the saints, especially the prayer in the fifth seal mentioned in chapter 6, 9-11, and the prayer mentioned in Luke 18:7-8. Now, this is the prayers that Brother Lee was referring to. Revelation 6, 9 and 10. And when he, that's God, opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar that is below in the earth the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Master, holy and true, will you not judge and avenge our blood on them who dwell on the earth?" They're just crying out. Then the Lord indicated, "You just wait a while, I'll give you a white robe, because many others are going to follow you there." And then another part of a footnote, the prayer of the saints in this chapter must be for the judgment of the earth, which opposes God's economy. So what this means is they are praying, and I'll read in just a moment, for the Lord to judge this evil, rebellious, ungodly world who has done these evil things. "We're crying out to you." They even said, "When?" They're not complaining. They're being honest to the core. "When will you respond? When will you act? How many must be martyred? When will you get avenged on our behalf?" And the Lord indicates, again, "I will," but he's saying, "in my way and in my time." But about these kinds of prayers, now I'm going to read from a portion of Message 23 of the Life Study of Revelation. I heard the message. I edited the life study. I read it a number of times, but just several months ago, it just was brought to my attention again, and the heavens opened. At the end of this age, people will be so rebellious against God that they will even declare that they are God. While God has been tolerating this, some of the faithful saints will no longer bear it and will pray, O Sovereign Lord, how long will you bear with this? Will you tolerate this rebellion forever? How long will it be before you come in to vindicate yourself and avenge us? How long will it be until all the earth will know that you are the Lord? See. Eventually, there will be a need for this kind of prayer. The prayer for the sovereign God to make the whole earth know that He is God and to avenge what the enemy has done. Eventually, there will be a need for this kind of prayer. Don't try to make it up. There'll be a counterfeit prayer, please. But I do know from learning experience that it's come into my prayer life with my wife and another partner, that there's a need for this kind of prayer. Considering the world situation, and we just will cry out to you. And the Lord is waiting for this kind of prayer because He responds to our prayer. He doesn't act unilaterally. The time is coming when we all will be pressed to pray like this. There has to be the pressure from the world situation. You wonder why. I wish this would stop. But then what swells up is this burden to pray. This will indicate that the end is at hand, because our spirit will not tolerate this situation any longer. Then we will pray in the Lord, to the Lord, to vindicate Himself and to let all the rebellious ones know that He is God. When we pray like this, the angels sent by God will minister to God with our prayer, adding to it Himself as the incense. God will certainly answer this prayer, and there will be thunders, voices, lightnings, and an earthquake. That will be the beginning of God's judgment upon this rebellious earth. This will take place at the opening of the seventh seal, when Christ, the other angel, will minister as our high priest to bring to God our prayers mingled with His incense, and will be the one to execute God's judgment on the earth. These prayers will be rising up more and more. And so that matches the prayer in this parable. The vengeance, this is the enemy attacking me. But God is hidden, but the prayer is nonstop. And now we come to the real burden. And the time is just right. You can stop just a little before 9. And that is the part of verse 8 I kept until now. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? The Son of Man is coming. We sang that hymn. We just full of hope for His glory. But when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? And you may wonder, surely he'll find faith. Everyone who's saved has faith. Well, that is the beginning faith. Please remember, Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. The faith must be developed. It must reach perfection. And there are some verses here that are indicators of whether faith is being perfected in us. 2 Corinthians 10:15. Your faith is increasing. Faith has stages. If you just stay in the early stage, I believe in God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, he died and resurrected, he saved us, I believe he's the Spirit, he's dwelling in me, that's wonderful. That is not the perfected faith. That is not the faith of an overcomer in the midst of this dreadful situation. There has to be perfected, matured faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Your faith grows exceedingly. How precious to be able to say to someone, your faith is increasing. It's growing. Then listen to this from 1 Thessalonians 3:10. We may complete the things that are lacking in your faith. Did you receive that kind of help? As someone would say, there's something lacking in your faith. We would like to complete it. We'd like to impart it into you. You're going to say, inwardly, you're going to feel, what do you mean to say my faith is lacking? Rather, you should say, I gladly receive it. Because this may save you a lot of time and a lot of trouble. And so point one says, literally, the Greek words rendered faith mean, quote, the faith. This denotes the persistent faith for our persistent prayer, like that of the widow. And now I ask the Lord to cover me. I believe he wants me to share something to a certain extent of a learning experience. And that is this. More than 25 years ago, I and some others suffered just something heart-rending in the life of someone dear to us. Just indescribably painful. And the pain, the agony, has never gone away. And then the issue of that was just devastating. And the only option was to pray. So I prayed, walking early in the morning, what I called talking then, pray walking. I'm praying about a number of things and this bringing this to the Lord thousands of times. No answer. Every once in a while, I would meet another rather mature saint who was somewhat aware of the need and they're praying consistently. No answer. And then the feelings came up. Not accusing God, but being honest with him. Where are you? You don't care? You don't love? You don't recover lost sheep? Are you not hearing my prayer? You're not worthy? I don't understand. I'm going to stop. But then I couldn't stop. And even I went further. Maybe you don't love this person. Maybe you don't care. And this went on until there was a breakthrough. And the breakthrough was this, that I told the Lord that I cannot and will not stop praying. But if you do not respond, if you do not take action, if you do not recover, I want to testify what I have learned. And first, I share this personally, audibly, with God. But now I want to share it to the universe. In the midst of the situation, which may not end during my lifetime, to declare, you are my God. Amen. You are righteous. You are faithful. You are loving. You are compassionate. I declare to the whole universe, no matter what the situation is or will be, I believe in you as my God. Amen. And even if there is no response, no answer, no change until the end of my course, I want the enemy to know I still have faith in my God. Amen. Then I look back upon that period of time, and I just realized, at least partially, what the Lord was doing was, Ron, I'm answering prayers you might have forgotten. I'm developing your faith. I'm protecting your faith. And now, I want to say something further to you inwardly. I didn't do this for you. I do this for them. For the body, that you don't need 25 years of learning. But this is the kind of faith that the Son of Man is looking for. A developed faith, a perfected faith. That's why I had to sing that song, look away. Look away unto Jesus. Look away from your past. Look away from your failures. Look away from your sins. Look away from every negative thing. Let's all learn to look away. Amen. Focus our being on the Lord Jesus. Amen. And when we gaze on Him, He infuses more faith capacity into us. In the midst of various situations, we will become eventually perfected in our faith. One characteristic, maybe the most important one, of the bride who has made herself ready is her maturity in faith and love. They go together. And so, you dear ones, surely, many of you are so young, you're just slightly older than my grandsons, I believe sincerely you'll live unto the end. In my loving concern for you, that when the Son of Man comes, He will find faith in you. Sisters, He will find faith in you. You have passed through everything with God hiding, with God seemingly not to care. But now it's been wrought into your being. That's how it seems. But I know the hidden God is in me and in this situation. And I simply believe in Him. And when He comes, He will know. This one. That one. How does He make it known? The rapture. The rapture. Two men in the field, one taken. Two women grinding, one taken. And so, what has been in my heart, what is the burden for the whole recovery, is that we would all present ourselves to the Lord, who is the perfecter of our faith, that He would perfect the faith of thousands, tens of thousands of saints all over the earth in every kind of situation, that no matter what the circumstances are, we will eventually more and more look away unto the glorified God-man Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. And you will realize something is taking place in your being. And when the Son of Man comes, He'll find faith in you, because you allowed Him to become the faith in you. And you were willing to be led through certain events and experiences that were necessary for the Lord to operate in this way. But even as it was going on deep within, mysteriously, you have peace, and believe it or not, deep within, you have joy. Because my God, who's hidden, is caring for me in a marvelous way. Now I read to the end, then we'll pray for about a minute with your neighbor. And then the brothers will share. The faith through which we were saved is the initial stage of faith. The faith that brought us into a life union with Christ is the linking faith. There needs to be a conference on this, maybe more than one. Maybe mainly in other parts of the earth. I don't know. We'll see how the Lord will lead. The faith that comes into us through our contacting the triune God continually, so that we may live by the Son of God. We just look away and contact. Then the transmission comes and the faith is developed. Three, the linking faith is the divine requirement for the overcomers to meet Christ and His triumphant return. Linking faith is the triune God moving in us to link us to His unsearchable riches. He wants to connect you to the wealth of His being in your inner being. Linking faith is the faith of the believers who have no trust in themselves. Rather, their trust is in God. When the Lord Jesus returns, He will find a number of overcomers who are living by the linking faith and will regard them as treasures for His kingdom in the 1,000 years of His reign. When the Son of Man comes, I believe He will find faith in so many of us. And to make it certain, let's pray for it right now.